This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. A'udhu billahi as-sami'i min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa la'udwana illa 'alal zalimin wal 'aqibatu lil muttaqin. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik 'ala 'abdika wa rasulika Muhammadin sallallahu 'alayhi wa sallam wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman katheera. So tonight, inshallah ta'ala, I'm here to talk to you about the Torah. I'm serious. No one said it. Why are we talking about the Torah? Let's talk about the Torah as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about it. Okay? And let's start with that, inshallah ta'ala. In the very beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And then what? Someone give me the next ayah. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And then what? And then what? Okay, and then next? MashaAllah, they all memorized Surah Al-Baqarah from the miracles of your IC. It took one night. وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ. Those who believe in what was revealed to you and what was revealed before you. At the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, the divine verses that were given to the Prophet ﷺ in the heavens. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. They all believe in Allah, they believe in the angels, they believe in the books, and they believe in the messengers. Surah Ali Imran starts off with Alif Lam Mim. Someone give me what it says next.
نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَأَنزَلَ التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلَ مِنْ قَبْلُ هُدًى لِلنَّاسِ وَأَنزَلَ الْفُرْقَانَ.
Amazing. Surah Ali Imran starts off with something very similar. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down this book to you in truth, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the Torah and the Injil. Before that, it was hudan linnas, a guidance for the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the Quran, hudan lil muttaqin and hudan linnas, a guidance for the pious, a guidance for the God conscious, a guidance for the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the Torah, فِيهَا هُدًى وَنُورٍ. When Allah azza wa jal revealed it, it had guidance and light inside of it. And Allah describes the Injil, the Gospels that were revealed to Isa alayhi salam, فِيهِ هُدًى وَنُورٍ, that it had in it guidance and light. The Qur'an, Allah does not say in it is guidance and light. Allah calls the whole Qur'an huda and nur, guidance and light. What happened? How is it, subhanAllah, that we are supposed to hold these original scriptures in such high regard? And what does that mean for us today? To say, as a Muslim, it is one of arkanul iman, one of the articles of my faith, that I believe in the Torah that was revealed, and I believe in the Injil that was revealed. Why is it an article of faith, and what does it mean today? So it's way too long to go through a full dars, a full lecture, or actually dissect the Torah then and the Torah now. So I'll give you some highlights, inshallah ta'ala. Number one, many of the ulama say the Torah and the Injil are the greatest revelations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the Quran. And there is a correlation between what was revealed to ulul azmi min ar-rusul, the greatest of the messengers, and the greatest of the messages. Right? So what came to Musa, what came to Isa, Suhuf of Ibrahim, the Zabur of Dawood, what came to the greatest messengers are necessarily the greatest messages. The Qur'an being, of course, the greatest that was given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is the Torah? What was it then and what is it now? How did the tahrif, how did the alterations of the Torah happen to where it is what it is now, and what does that mean for us today? SubhanAllah, this is a rich discussion amongst the ulama. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that I have been given in the place of the Torah, the as-sab'a min al-mathani aw at-tiwal, the seven often recited surahs, or the seven long surahs, right? The seven long surahs being, in, of course, according to many of the scholars, when you look at the first seven of the Qur'an, some of them said that if you were to take after Al-Fatiha, Al-Baqarah, Ali Imran, Al-Nisa, Al-Ma'idah, Al-An'am, Al-A'raf, that is the approximate length of the original Torah to Musa Islam. So some of the scholars said that is what was revealed in terms of length, okay, to Musa Islam. Some of them said the character of those seven. If you look through the seven, the first surahs of the Qur'an as we're going through now, what are you listening to? You're listening to, obviously, a reminder to honor the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're listening to Allah, legislation, right? Sharia. A lot of Sharia comes down in these chapters of the Qur'an because these are the first chapters that were, you know, for the most part, with the exception of Al-An'am, that came down in Medina by which a society is built, right? So dietary laws, marriage laws, laws of war, ethics, all of these things come in these surah, right? In these chapters. And a reminder that victory comes through upholding the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and destruction comes with turning your back on the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So stories of victory and stories of destruction. So some of the scholars said that this is the essence of the Torah as well. A lot of law and a lot of reminder to uphold the covenant. And if you uphold the covenant, then you'll have the success of those who came before. And if you turn your back on the covenant, you will have the destruction of those who came before. So some of the scholars said that. Another thing that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned is that the Torah was revealed on the sixth night of Ramadan. And by the way, the Prophet ﷺ said this about all of the revelations, the major revelations, that it coincided to the month of Ramadan. That Allah Azza wa Jal chose to deliver these divine messages in the month of Ramadan. So you have the Torah that came down in the Ramadan to Musa alayhi salam, divinely written, divinely inscribed, one of the greatest revelations that came. How much of it is still there? There's a lot of debate there too, and I can't unpack it all, but you'll find the writings of Ibn Hazm and Al-Bukhari, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Al-Qayyim, talking about how much of the Torah remains today and how much of it was altered and how was it altered. Okay, and this is where it starts to get very interesting. Some of the scholars, they said if you look through the history of the Torah, that there is in it most of what was divinely revealed, but the tahrif, the alteration of the Torah, came through the additions in terms of the bulks of it. What does that mean? وَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Woe to those who write the book with their hands. And they say, this is from Allah. So Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, when you think of the sections of the Torah that were added, especially when it comes to the stories of the prophets and things that contradict some of what we would see as fundamental to the law, fundamental to the legislation, fundamental to the character of the prophets, he describes this in a very interesting way, that they elevated the words, think of like the tafsir of the Torah, right? They elevated some of the writings over time that were politically driven, that had agendas and things that contradicted, and they put them into the divine book. And so it broadened the Torah. And so the divine words, many of them are still there. And that's why, subhanAllah, you'll find that there are a lot of similarities. If you read the Old Testament and you read from our law, you'll find a lot of similarities, right? And so there's a lot of original scripture there. And that, some of the proofs that he uses is when the Prophet ﷺ saw, when the Torah was presented to the Prophet ﷺ, or when it was brought to him, as the Jews in Medina were governed by the laws of the Torah, the Prophet ﷺ was reclining on a pillow, and the Prophet ﷺ took the pillow behind his back and he put it under the Torah. So those scholars, they say that would either just be a sign of respect, or the Prophet ﷺ honoring what may remain of divine revelation, because certainly there is something in there that is still that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. So it's the bulk of man-made writing that was added to it over time. Also, the many, many, many translations and mistranslations and little changes here. One word changes here. One word changes here. And so what Ibn Hazm rahimahullah mentions is that 1,000 changed words, or something to the essence of 1,000 changed words, right? Completely alters the meaning. Let me put it to you this way. If someone was to document or transcribe a conversation between two people, or tell you about something that happened between two people, and they don't like you, or they have something to push, then somewhere in there are going to be some words that are true, sentences that are indeed true, but there will be changes and things that could completely change and alter the character. So حَبَّةٌ حِطَّةٌ. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions some of these examples. One word here, one word there. And then that's one form of tahrif. That's one form of changing it as well. And so what do you end up with? Obviously, as Muslims, you look at it and you can see so much in terms of proofs of the prophethood of the Prophet ﷺ. So many things that there are similarities between the texts. And we say, okay, that's something. Something to build upon in terms of our da'wah, right? But then, you've got Benjamin Netanyahu calling you the Amalek, right? The Amalekites, and you know, the chief rabbi of Israel and these defense ministers saying genocidal craziness and using that directly to exterminate your brothers and sisters in Gaza, relegating them to less than human beings and animals. You say, what is that? And I've caught Muslims multiple times, which is why this is so important. I've caught Muslims multiple times ascribing to the prophets what we would never ascribe to the Anbiya. Right? We would never ascribe to Dawood alayhi salam and Nuh alayhi salam something, some of the things that are written there to be then used to the destruction of populations. And so there are additions, certainly from our perspective, there are the changes. And how do we come to terms with this as Muslims? We have to believe that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed these books and that these are the greatest of the scriptures prior to the Qur'an. But Allah Azza wa Jalla calls the Qur'an what? مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. It confirms, and Allah also calls the Qur'an مُهَيْمِن. Filters, governs. So it filters out the laws, the ideas. And indeed there are changes in legislation, but it is the ultimate filter of everything that came before it. Lastly, dear brothers and sisters, and as I said, it's too hard to give an extensive breakdown of the Torah and what it was and what it means for us today. Obviously, it's important for us to acknowledge and to believe. As the Prophet ﷺ, by the way, he even taught the Muslims in Medina that when, you know, the Jewish communities in Medina would read the Hebrew to, obviously, Arabs, right? The Prophet ﷺ would say, just say, أَمَنَّا بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْنَا وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ. We believe in what was revealed to you and what was revealed to us. Why? Because whatever truth is there, we believe in it already. But the Qur'an is sufficient in terms of a sharia, in terms of a way of life, in terms of that ultimate filter, that ultimate legislation, that ultimate revelation. But lastly, a moment of appreciation that you look to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such a miracle that the Qur'an is preserved to every single word, every single letter that can be recited in all of its qira'at, and the qira'at are documented and preserved, and the interpretation of the Qur'an is preserved through the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because if you lose the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, which is the authoritative interpretation of the Qur'an, how it was lived, what it meant, if you lose that, then you open it up to all sorts of possibilities to then twist, turn in this direction. And of course, we could never foresee in our lifetimes that someone would dare to take something out of the Qur'an or add one sentence into the Qur'an. But dear brothers and sisters, look at what's transpiring around you, subhanAllah, in terms of the speed of fitan in this day and age, the speed of trial and tribulation. Allah Azza wa Jal has promised that the Qur'an will be preserved. But the attempts will remain. And beware of the attempts, and beware of the sub-attempts, which are of course then the elevating of, you know, the writing of man, right, to where it would become like Qur'an itself, or the removal of the authoritative interpretation of the Qur'an, which is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So we say we believe in Allah, we believe in what was revealed to us, and we believe in what was revealed before us. And we believe in the prophets and we believe in the messengers. And this is similar to نَحْنُ أَوْلَى بِمُوسَى مِنْكُمْ. This is our closeness. We honor what was initially in those revelations. We honor those prophets. And we honor them by abiding by the Qur'an and avoiding the mistakes of earlier communities to make sure that we treat our scripture, that we treat what was given to us with the utmost respect and love and honor, and that we abide by it by following in the example of the Prophet ﷺ and maintaining its recitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of the Qur'an, people of the covenant, people of the ahd, who honor what was given to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala join us with all of the prophets and our beloved Prophet ﷺ. Fi firdaws al-a'la. Allahumma ameen. Jazakum Allah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.